Анатолий Сергеевич, вам вина или водочки?
Водочки.
At a recent dinner with old friends in Moscow, Mikhail Gorbachev is still on fine form. I said to him, "You're not my teacher, we're equals." He reminisces about his partnership with President Reagan that ended the Cold War. A revolution in global politics that was all the more extraordinary because Gorbachev didn't start out a reformer, quite the opposite. As a teenager in the 1940s, he says he was a typical Soviet zealot.
Я был лояльным человеком. И на выпускных экзаменах за 10.
I was a loyal citizen, and proof of that is that for my final exams, I chose Stalin as my subject. My theme was Stalin is our glory in the battle. Stalin is the wings of our youth. It's not that someone dragged Gorbachev into the Communist Party, or that my father or grandfather insisted. Not at all. It all came from me.
In the late 1940s, the cult of personality around Joseph Stalin was at its height. The country was awash with post-war patriotic fervor. But Gorbachev got the chance to move to Moscow to go to university and was there when Stalin died in 1953. And the freer atmosphere that followed, he says, encouraged him to question his beliefs.
My doubts began towards the end of my time at Moscow University. So much was bound up with Stalin. When I went back home to southern Russia and went into politics, I began to see how people really had to live, and I started questioning the whole system. This much vaunted, planned system was channeling everything into the arms race, while human beings fell a long way behind. Millions lived in poverty.
One close friend was a Czech student called Zdeněk Mlynář, a rare chance to swap views with someone from beyond the closed borders of the Soviet Union.
Zdeněk, my друг был большой, он был самый близкий мне друг.
Zdeněk was my dearest friend. He was closer to me than anyone else, and it was my luck to be friends with him. Our positions coincided on many things.
Mlynář became a key reformer in his own right, the architect of the Prague Spring, Czechoslovakia's reform experiment of the late 1960s. On the eve of the Prague Spring, Mlynář visited Gorbachev, who was by now fast rising up the party ladder. They talked over Mlynář's reform plans. But a year later, in 1968, Soviet tanks rolled into Czechoslovakia to crush what the Kremlin saw as a dangerous rebellion.
All radio stations in Romania, Yugoslavia, please inform about the situation in the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic.
All Soviet party officials were told to condemn the Prague experiment. Gorbachev dutifully complied, and even, he says, genuinely believed that the invasion was justified. It was only when he was sent to Czechoslovakia with a party delegation a year later that he had to confront reality and his conscience.
We arrived and it was shocking. People didn't want to talk to us. We'd assumed they'd wanted our support, including military action. That was what we'd been told. But it was disinformation. We had insulted and humiliated a nation that was close to our hearts.
Gorbachev seems to have been a master of doublethink. He led two parallel lives, enjoying a meteoric career through the party bureaucracy and into the Politburo, helped by patrons like the feared KGB chief, Yuri Andropov. But privately, he was critical. He recalls one telling conversation from late 1979 with his friend Edward Shevardnadze, later his foreign minister.
He said, "Everything is rotten." He was very emotional. I said, "I agree." But the main thing is, the next morning we woke up and discovered Soviet troops had entered Afghanistan, and we hadn't known anything about it.
The old guard on the Kremlin wall at the triumphant Red Square parades were unwilling to loosen their grip. Military might and rigid control over society were their guarantee of power. But one by one, the aged Kremlin leaders died. By 1985, and the third funeral in as many years, even Politburo hardliners realized they needed a younger leader. Gorbachev's chance had come. But to try to reform the system was a momentous task and a huge risk, given the entrenched opponents lined up against him. From the start, Gorbachev's style was different. He broke with tradition and got out of his car to talk to the crowd. No Kremlin leader had ever done that before. But at the back of his mind, he says, was what happened to his friend Mlynarch's reforms in Czechoslovakia. The key was to take it step by step to avoid a hardline backlash and a military crackdown.
When it came to Perestroika, I couldn't forget the backlash that had followed the Prague Spring. Perestroika and Glasnost gave people the chance to breathe freely and speak freely. It was euphoric. But along with that euphoria, we had to tread carefully. After all, for 70 years, we had lived in a system with no private property and with total ideological control.
In the end, of course, that hardline backlash came anyway. Gorbachev tried to keep his party opponents in check, but his reforms took on their own momentum. And by August 1991, the old guard had had enough. Their attempted coup in Moscow, 20 years ago this week, did send the tanks in. But unlike Prague in 1968, they were defeated.